Good morning.
Good morning.
First thing I want to tell you is I'm not Dee Dee. I hope you recognize that. Dee Dee moved to the other service because Nick is having gallbladder problems and is in the hospital with IV antibiotics running in and pain medication and anticipating surgery. So I got called last night about 8 o'clock or so. Tom, would you preach today? I said, well, sure I will. Now listen, I've done it a long time, but I'm not in practice. So it's like roller skating. You don't forget how, but if you wait a long time, you fall down over. I want to welcome all of you to the service this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're especially grateful to have your presence with us. And ask everyone that is here to sign the visitor's pad, the registration pad, and let us know that you're around. All of the prayer list, be sure and read that. The activities are on the back of your bulletin. And I think we are ready to worship.
We welcome you to World Communion Sunday. We are honoring World Communion Sunday with the theme of All God's Children, and also honoring Children's Sabbath today. So we have some exciting things in store during this service. So at this time, let's pass the peace of Christ. Would you please stand for our call to worship?
Yen yin na ye ebusia baako a onyankopon aboye nse ni nsa so.
We.
Yen yin na ye ebusia baako obiara danso obiara ye sonko.
We are all one family, brothers and sisters.
Yen yin na ye ebusia baako a wa mayen achede ne adoma chede se ye nche.
We are all one family, one journey of faith. We are all one family, united in love, united in peace, united in Christ our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, Lift High the Cross, number 159.
be seated. We have a special treat now. Our joy choir will sing this morning with our act of praise.
Group, and the singing was so beautiful this morning. Thank you for that. I want to ask you a question. How did you get to church this morning? By car. So did you drive yourself? So your parents did. So did anybody walk to church? No, everybody came in a car. So a grown-up brought you, right? Maybe it was probably your parents, maybe your grandparents, or your aunts or uncles, or just a friend. Somebody loved you enough and cared about you enough to bring you to church this morning because they wanted you to learn about Jesus and how much Jesus loves you. So I want to tell you a little story about Jesus. One time, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and there was a big crowd of people following them along, trying to listen to what Jesus had to say. And while they were following him, some of the parents brought their children up to Jesus because they wanted Jesus to touch them and bless them and pray for them. But the disciples got upset about it, and they thought that the children were interrupting Jesus and keeping him from teaching. And so they asked the parents to please not bring the children. Well, when Jesus heard that, he got very upset. And he said, "No, let the children come to me. I want the children to come to me because to them, such are the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus loves children, and we hope that we'll always remember that Jesus took the children in his arms and loved them. So we're really thankful for each of you today and that somebody loved you enough to bring you to church. So would you pray with me, please? Dear God, We love the children just as Jesus loved them, and we are thankful that these children have someone who loves them enough to bring them to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As the sun crossed over the international date line somewhere this morning, it became Worldwide Communion Sunday for many, many Christians around the world. So this morning, we are especially observant of the fact that we're a worldwide community of faith. And as such, we recognize by the participation in our congregation that this is an international congregation. People are no longer far away. We're all in it together. And we must all do as God has called us to do in order to make our worldwide community truly His kingdom on earth. Let's pray together. Dear God, we sometimes forget in our hurry to take care of ourselves that we are a part of this whole wide world, that you have called us to be a family. We understand that we don't always do as you want us to do, but we also understand that we are children of grace, that you love us no matter what. Help us this morning to remember in prayer those who are caught in the violence of this world and the armies that cover this earth and the violence that takes place in all of our neighborhoods. Remind us that you are with us, that it is your power that enables us to overcome. We pray for those who are sick and who have terrible problems. We know it is by your presence that they can have peace. We pray for our congregation as it represents one small dot in this whole wide world. But we pray that this little dot may be a light that shines forth to all in this whole universe to say, God has made us, God has given us mission, and God gives us the grace and the strength and the love to do what we need to do. Hear us now as we remember Jesus Christ our Savior, who loved us, who lived with us, and who died for us, and who taught us to pray this prayer together.
பரமண்டலங்களில் இருக்கிற எங்கள் பிதாவே, உம்முடைய நாமம் பரிசுத்தப்படுவதாக.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
உம்முடைய ராஜ்யம் வருவதாக. உம்முடைய சித்தம் பரமண்டலத்திலே செய்யப்படுகிறது போல பூமியிலும் செய்யப்படுவதாக.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
எங்களுக்கு வேண்டிய ஆகாரத்தை இன்று எங்களுக்கு தாரும்.
Give us this day our daily bread.
எங்கள் கடன் ஆளிகளுக்கு நாங்கள் மணிக்கருத்து போல எங்கள் கடன்களை எங்களுக்கு மணியும். எங்களை சோதனைக்கு உட்பட பண்ணாமல் தீமை என்று எங்களை ரட்சித்துக் கொள்ளும். ராஜ்யமும் வலிமையும் மகிமையும் எந்தெந்தைக்கும் உம்முடைய வைகளே.
ஆமென்.
All that we have, gifts from God. We say ours, we say mine. That's not really true. We take care of what God has given to us. And a part of that comes together in your offering in order to spread the gospel to help the hurting, to heal, to bring peace and love to this world. So give of your heart in recognition of what God has done for you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Please remain standing for a hymn of meditation, Children of the Heavenly Father, number 141.
Probably, in changing this scripture lesson, cut someone out of reading this scripture this morning that was supposed to, and I apologize for that. But I want to read from Exodus, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people. Take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of God for the people of God. The sermon that I have here, you may or may not remember a story or two. It is a sermon that I was going to preach in February, but I became ill and couldn't come that day. So it's had a lot of time to mellow and develop and all of those good things. I want to begin with one of my favorite stories about a pastor who arrived at his church one day and discovered out on the lawn of the church a dead mule. You remember this one? Called the health department. Told him, he said, "Hey, listen, I've got a dead mule on my lawn." The guy that answered the phone was trying to be cute. He said, "Well, Pastor, I thought you pastors took care of the dead." Pastor said, "Yes, we do, but first we contact their relatives." Like the pastor with the dead mule on his church lawn, Moses had a big problem. In the Exodus, it was not Pharaoh, not the waters of the Red Sea, not feeding people in the wilderness or getting water, as in the lesson today. His big problem was lack of faith. The lack of faith of the people that had been delivered from slavery. They didn't get the big picture. They couldn't see it. They chose to come after Moses with every problem that came along. In the lesson this morning, it's not the first time. They came to complain again and again. This was the third time. Seems they had barely gotten through the sea. Pharaoh's chariots were still trying to swim out of the water that had fallen on them. They stopped praising God and started complaining that life was too hard. Water had become scarce for them, and they were in the wilderness of Shur, and, or they call it the wilderness of sin. The waters of Marah was bitter, undrinkable. So the people came to Moses. They said to him, "We can't drink this stuff." Moses took it to God. God said, Well, that's simple. He showed Moses a certain tree that if he cast it into the water, it would become immediately fresh and drinkable. So shortly after that, here we go again. They found him in the hard land, which is literally the middle of nowhere. They had their second complaint. They were starving to death and they'd surely die. Something had to be done. Their needs had to be met. Their mood was so mean-spirited that they sarcastically wished they had died fat and happy in slavery in Egypt. How can you be fat and happy as slaves? So God's answer again, morning manna, evening meat, quail. He stopped the complaints by stuffing their criticizing mouths with more food than they could eat. Now, the lesson this morning is the third round of complaining. This time it's water again. And when Moses talks to God, he doesn't mention the water. He's concerned about his own leadership. He's concerned about his own safety. What shall I do with these people? They're about ready to stone me. So God shows Moses how to deal with it. He told him to get out of that, out of the midst of the milling, bad-mouthing mob of people, take a select group of the elders of Israel, take the same staff that he had used to strike the water. Remember when the plagues came to Egypt? He struck the water, turned the water into blood. But the key to it all was God's presence. I will be standing there ahead of you on the rock of Horeb. If God is with Moses, he need not worry about the success of his mission. People, after all of this, ask the question, is the Lord with us or not? How do we deal with that kind of attitude among the people of God? You know, we do tend to be complaining people, don't we? Rabbi Robert Alpert tells of a synagogue that had the answering service, you know, where you, when you, well, you know, you call the doctor's office or you call anybody these days, if you want such and such and such and such, you punch 1, 2, 3, so forth. Well, he called the synagogue and he got the message, welcome to Temple Beth Shalom. If you're calling from a touchtone phone and would like membership information, press 1. For our service schedule, press 2. To complain to the rabbi, press 3. If you want to complain about the rabbi, press 4, 5, or 6. How do we deal with it? We're a people. Now, I'm talking about us. We're a people who wander through the wilderness of prosperity accompanied by selfishness and violence. If we're going to complain, we have to complain with our mouths full, our closets so filled that we need more storage. Need more storage at your house? We do at ours. We have so many things to do with our lives that it's hard to find time to come to church on a regular basis. Whatever else he did, Moses talked to God. Whatever else Moses realized, that God was with him and went before him. And that's how we must deal with it. We tend to listen to the voices of the critics and join them. But it's not the critics that will lead us out of our wilderness. It's not the movements whose names dot the religious landscape and who are able to tell you that we need to adhere to true doctrine. Now, our society has its own Pharisees who fly their own various banners. We'll find our way through our wilderness by talking to God and realizing that God is with us and that he goes before us. I have a story I want you to take with you today. It's about a man who survived a shipwreck, and he found himself on a deserted small island. He prayed every day for God to rescue him. He scanned the horizon for the sign of a ship coming to save him. None came. So with little hope, he eventually built himself a small hut. He could store his few possessions. And one day after scavenging, he arrived home to find his little hut on fire. Smoke was rolling up into the atmosphere. He lost everything, and he was stunned with grief and anger. God, how could you do this to me? Next morning, he was awakened by the sound of a ship coming to the island to save him. How'd you know I was here? We saw your smoke signal. It's easy to get discouraged when things are going bad. We go through that. But we shouldn't lose heart, because God is at work in our lives, even in the midst of our pain and suffering. Remember, the next time your little hut is burning to the ground, it may just be a smoke signal that summons the grace of God. Let us pray. Dear God, remind us to praise you, not complain to you. Remind us that we are the church and we are not here to get our wants and needs met, but to fulfill the mission you gave us to make disciples. Cause us to ask ourselves, when did you lead someone to Christ? By word or example. Amen. Our communion service is page 12. I remind you that everyone here is welcome to participate, to take communion. It is a thing that we sometimes forget. This is God's table, not Asbury's or not the Methodist table. So join together in this wonderful sacrament that causes us to remember what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. I want you to hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and said, "Take and eat all of this. For this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Those who are assisting will come and join me here. Thank you. intention, and you take the bread that is placed in your hands as you receive it, dip it lightly into the wine and partake. Thank you. pray. Almighty God, we have come to this table not because we deserve to come, because you have bid us to come. Help us now to have the vision of what your kingdom on earth can be. Help us to understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Help us to remember again all that he went through for us, and enable us to do it for others. In the name of Christ, amen. As we stand and sing this closing hymn, the doors of our church are always open. We always give you the invitation to join. You may have thought about it. You may not. God may be speaking to you. You can transfer. You can make a profession of faith. However, if you wish to become a part of this congregation, come down and greet me during the singing of the hymn.
Our hymn of commitment this morning is number 585, This Little Light of Mine, verses 1 and 2. Please stand.
To do it correctly this morning, the light has truly shone.
Amen.
It has not revealed our mistakes or errors. It has shown simply the grace of God. So as you go from this place, remember, as we used to say, who you are and whose you are, and go in peace.